So today is the 29th of March. It's 2017. We are in the Cameron Trading Post parking lot in a wonderful motorhome with the Holcomb family. How do you spell your last name?
It's H-O-L-C-O-M-B-E.
Great. And there's three of you here. There's Peter and Kathy and Abby. And Kathy with a C or a K?
With a K.
Okay. And Abby, how do you spell your name?
A-B-B-Y.
Great, thank you. My name is Tom Martin. This is a Grand Canyon Historical Society oral interview. And so earlier today on Facebook, I was notified by some people that Abby, along with her parents, had just completed a Grand Canyon River trip from Lee's Ferry to Pierce Ferry. And Abby kayaked the entire way in a kayak, except that Abby is 12 and her kayak is about 5 feet long. So got on the phone to Peter, and Peter very kindly said, yeah, we can meet you at Cameron and we can do this interview. So I'd like to back up a little bit to start here, and I'd like to ask Peter and Kathy, we'll start with Peter. Into the out-of-doors when you grew up?
Yeah, I was. I grew up racing motorcycles and rock climbing and scouting and things like that. And so I've always been into the out-of-doors for sure. I lived in a neighborhood that had a lot of open spaces, and my friends and I definitely took good advantage of that.
Where did you grow up?
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Yeah. Not a lot of wild rivers running there. Until recently, they've got a new whitewater park there that's man-made, but that's another story.
And Kathy, you, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Arkansas and spent time camping and canoeing and spending time outside with my family as well.
So both of you were fairly comfortable, camping out of doors.
Absolutely. In fact, our second date was going rock climbing in the Wichita Mountains in Oklahoma.
Yep.
So hang on a second. When I think of Oklahoma, I don't think of mountains.
Yeah, most people don't. But southwestern Oklahoma has some really good granite and really amazing granite rock climbing there. So it's real isolated, you know. There's little islands of granite here and there, but it's really good stuff.
Sweet. Yeah. That's cool. And so... you guys started hanging out together. When did you get married?
We got married in 2001.
Okay.
And our second date climbing was in 1995, so 22 years ago.
Oh, that's fun. Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And so when did you have Abby?
In 2004.
Okay. And were you guys thinking, had you discussed sort of, what you wanted to do with your lives and how did it all work out?
Well, so in college, we were enamored with rock climbing. And basically, we decided as soon as we were out of school, we were either moving to California to be close to Yosemite, or we were going to go to Boulder and live in Colorado, both kind of climbing meccas. And so I was in Costa Rica finishing up some Spanish credits. It's my last thing of college. And Kathy was done with school, and I called to check in one day and talked to her, and she was just kind of going crazy because her mom was driving her crazy, and she was back from school. Not a bad way, but just, she was used to more freedom than her mom was giving her. And she's like, I'm going to either California or Colorado. So tell me which one, where are we going to go? And I was like, I really got to decide right now. I'm in Costa Rica. She's like, yeah, I got to get out of here. I'm going somewhere. I was like, Colorado, let's go to Colorado. And so then she took off to Colorado. Was there a couple weeks ahead of me, and then I finished with my Spanish in Costa Rica and did a little rafting down there on the Picuare and some things, but then ended up packing my bags and my Honda Civic and driving to Colorado and getting a job at REI, and haven't really looked back since. So,
what did you graduate in?
University of Oklahoma with a degree in photography.
Mm-hmm. And I have a degree in zoology. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And did you guys kayak or canoe at the time? I mean, you're climbing, but were you into water?
No. Kathy, maybe a little.
I canoed a lot growing up, but you'll laugh at this. Our first experience kayaking was on the Mackenzie River in Oregon, and neither one of us had any idea really how to do anything, and so we got the William Neely book out of the library, and we looked at the little kayaker in the corner doing a roll, and I stood waist deep in the lake flipping through this page of the library book, watching the kayaker roll in the corner, and telling Peter, well, I think you put your paddle this way or this way, and after about 45 minutes of freezing in the cold lake, we figured it out, and then we ran the Mackenzie the next day.
Yep, and swam the Mackenzie.
So both of you learned to roll that day or to attempt something?
So we were with a group of friends. It was climbers. It was hot. We were climbing Smith Rocks in Oregon, and one guy suggested to go to the Mackenzie River. And so we went to the place that rented some rafts and duckies, and, you know, it sounded great. I got there, and I saw this perception dancer sitting as part of their rental fleet. And I was like, you know, I don't want to be in these rubber things. I used to race motorcycles. I want to be in the motorcycle of the river. And so I saw this dancer, and I was like, that's what I want to do. And so I talked to the guy renting. I was like, hey, can I rent that thing, that kayak? He's like, well, do you have any experience? I was like, oh, yeah, kind of. Yeah, I've got, I think I'll do all right. And the guy kind of reluctantly rented me this dancer. And then our next stop was like, this is pre-internet, you know? So our next stop was the library. And I was like, we got to be a book here about how to go kayaking. And so we found the William Neely book. And we read it the whole way up to the Mackenzie River from Corvallis up to the Mackenzie, which is, I don't know, 3 hours or something.
Okay.
Maybe it's not that much.
So you had a little time to read ahead.
And then our first stop was this lake. And I got a couple rolls. And Kathy basically got cold feet and was standing out there in the water with me. And then she picked it up a little bit, too. But then the next day, it was mostly me and the kayak and everybody else in one raft and a couple of duckies. And I thought, I was really hooked at that point.
Wow.
It was awesome. I swam a lot. I swam almost every rapid, but I didn't get a roll at all in the river. But it was great. And so I instantly, when I got back to Oklahoma, I had a friend there who was a kayaker. And I asked him, Dr. Bob, I was like, hey, you know, I want to get a kayak. I tried it now. And he's like, well, this new kayak came out. I just got one. It's called an RPM. I've got my old Crossfire for sale. You know, if you want to buy it, I think it would do you well. And so I was like, yeah. So I bought his Crossfire for like $300. And then went and pieced together the rest of my gear. And been a kayaker ever since.
And you, Kathy?
And so I rode in the raft that day, but a couple months later we went to Oklahoma and it was my turn to learn to roll. And I actually rolled on the first try after figuring it out in the William Neely book with Peter. And it was great. So after that, we were, every day that it was raining and we couldn't rock climb, we were kayaking. And that started it all. And then when Abby was born, it was easier for us to go kayaking than it was to go climbing because we could go one at a time. And so we continued to, that's when we really started paddling a lot.
So one of you would run shuttle and the other one would boat?
Well, we met up with some other families that had kids.
Cool.
And so sometimes it was that, like, you know, Kathy would sit it out for that, for the morning, and then I'd go paddle with the boys, and then she'd go paddle with the girls after that, and we'd swap watching kids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay. So we had other paddling friends that had kids. And then sometimes it was the flip of that, and, you know, it just worked really good for us to have time to get out and do things, but yet the kids could come along. And
so this sounded like something you planned, which was, okay, we're going to have a child, and we're going to keep on cruising. I mean, we're going to keep boating and climbing. And
so all along, I remember before we were even thinking about kids, we were at a climb, and we ran into this woman who had a little baby in one of those little snuggly things on her chest,
mm-hmm.
and she's going up to do a climb with another woman, and we got to talking to him, and she's like, yeah, you know, with kids, you take what you can get. Every moment you get outside is a golden nugget, and if you think of it that way, then you'll always be happy and excited. And so then when we had kids, we kind of remember back to that. And we're like, well, okay, kids doesn't mean that we can't do the things we want to do. We just got to do them a little different. And really that's been our guiding light in the last 3 years of our trip that we're on, this Famagogo is what we call it, this adventure, is to really...
Famagogo, that's F-A-M hyphen A hyphen G-O-G-O.
Yeah, I mean, you're close.
I can see some transcriber somewhere
going, yeah, what? You're close. It's just F-A-M-A-G-O-G-O.
Okay.
Famagogo, and it's basically family that's go-go, going.
Cool.
And so our idea there is just that we want to inspire other families to know that, you know, if you used to be a climber, if you used to be a paddler, if you used to be a mountain biker, you used to ski or whatever, just because you have kids doesn't mean you have to stop doing the things you love. You don't have to go and sit on the sidelines of the soccer field or whatever it is, you know. You can get out there as a family and do the things you've always loved.
Sweet. So,
you know, it's a little harder when the kids can't walk and stuff. But as they get bigger, you know, we really tried to hold true to that. And here we are today, you know. Abby's grown up with that idea.
So, Abby, what year were you? What's your birthday?
May 13th, 2004.
Okay, got to write this down. May 13, 2004, because you know the people are going to be counting numbers.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the earliest childhood memories you have?
I don't know. I remember, like, just some, like, little things. Like, the first time I crawled on the couch. Like, it's really random. Like, really little, I remember scrambling on, like, these huge boulders. And, like, looking back at the pictures, they're, like, 2 feet tall. But, like, these massive boulders. And it's like, oh, yes, I've climbed to the top of this massive boulder. And then it's like, you look at the pictures and it's like, wow, this is, like, tiny. Like, this is nothing. So that's probably, like, the earliest. And then also we started off really climbing. Like, I guess I started climbing before I started kayaking just because I couldn't swim. Like, it wasn't safe for me to go kayaking when I was that young. And so... I started off, my parents would tie my baby doll up, and they put it about, like, 15 feet above me, 10 feet above me, and they would tie me in, and then I'd chase my baby doll up the rock, so I'd go over anything to get the baby doll. And so now, looking back at all my, like, dolls, they all have, like, scratched, beat-up faces from dragging their faces up the side of the rock. But it got me to go and start to love climbing, and then once I learned how to swim, they got me a kayak, and then I started kayaking, so it was pretty cool.
What are some of the hardest climbs that you've done now?
It's embarrassing. So when they first learned, when they had me, they started kayaking a lot more and a lot more. And so soon kayaking became what we always did. So, you know, we'd climb like maybe once or twice a month. Like, we didn't climb very often, but we went kayaking all the time. So I really became a kayaker rather than a climber. And sure, I know how to climb, and I can climb, but I don't climb very hard stuff. It's like maybe 5'10", 5'9".
Only 5'10".
Yeah. On a good day.
On a good day. I'm happy at 5'6".
So what are your earliest remembrances of water?
Well, I remember starting off with swim lessons because I had to learn to swim to go in the river. And so I remember being terrified to get in the pool. So then baby steps happened, and I finally got in the pool, and I dipped my feet in, and then I started swimming, and I learned how to swim. And then I remember one time I went to my grandparents for the summer, and I came back just for a month. And I came back, and my parents wrapped up this kayak, and it's like, ooh, what's that? And it was all wrapped in, like, wrapping paper, and it's like, oh, what's this? A big surprise present. I'm so excited. So I tore it open, and it was a kayak. And I was like, yes, I get to go kayaking. And because, you know, I've sat in my parents' lap before that. And then I was able to get my own kayak, and I started in the pool.
How old were you when that kayak showed up as a present all wrapped up?
When I first got my kayak, I was 4 years old. So pretty little. It's probably, like, maybe 4 feet long. And
Excuse me for laughing, because your current kayak is, like, 5 feet long.
I don't know. It's really short. And I remember it being, like, twice the size of me. It was, like, huge. It
seemed big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was really little. I mean, we had to put tons of outfitting in it so she didn't just fall out of it.
Yeah.
But it was... I still today think that a kayak is the best toy you can give a kid, in that it can take them so many places and teach them so many things, and it's something they can use for the rest of their life. And I tell parents that all the time. That, and I think a lot of them, you know, who aren't outdoorsy or whatever, think I'm crazy when I say that. But it is. I mean, it can shape the rest of your life, boating. And it can take you so many cool places that kids who don't have access to a boat will never go. So.
Yeah. And it teaches kids independence and self-sufficiency and determination and how to deal with adversity and, you know, how to just persevere on your own. And so many life lessons from that, from paddling into the wind or flipping upside down unexpectedly or dealing with a scary rapid. There's just so many life lessons all wrapped into one amazing toy.
I wanted to throw in a word called teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't. Most, when you say that, I think of, like, soccer, and you have, like, your team, and everyone works together to win the game. And it's not really like that. We just have my friends, and we all go kayaking together, so we're not necessarily all one in a competition with each other, but we're competing against each other, and we're helping each other grow. So, like, ah, oh, that kid got a roll. I'm going to learn how to roll. Like, I don't want to be the one who can't roll. Like, I'm going to roll. And then, like, you do a trick, and it's like everyone else is like, oh, I wanted to be able to do that. I can't be the kid that doesn't do that. And so just the cycle repeats and repeats. And so we all just get better and grow from it. And, yeah.
What I was thinking was a little different. When I fall out of my kayak, because I'm not a good kayaker, and I reach out my hand,
yeah,
you're going to catch my hand, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's teamwork. You're looking out.
True.
You're competing against your buds.
Yeah.
But aren't you there for them?
Totally.
That's teamwork.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, before the Grand Canyon came onto your radar screen, can you think back that far?
Yeah.
Yeah? When was that? When was it before the Grand Canyon came on your radar screen?
I've kind of heard about it, and it's like, you know, I know the Grand Canyon, and then I heard that there's whitewater in the Grand Canyon. It's like, you know, I wasn't like, it took me a while to really get addicted to kayaking.
Okay, so what were you doing? You'd heard about the Grand Canyon, you heard about the whitewater there. What were you doing? What kind of level, where were you at that time?
Probably not a very good kayaker. I was probably just beginning. Maybe didn't have a roll, like just beginning. And probably scared of being upside down. And so, you know, I wasn't really like, oh, you know, whatever. It's like this thing my parents want to do. So, like, you know.
Well, it's probably my first trip is when you really started hearing a lot about it.
Yeah, because, you know, he was talking about his trip. And it would be like, oh, like, there's white water, there's big white water. And then I'd hear, like, all the big white water, and it's like, whoa.
So when was that? When did you get your first Grand Canyon trip?
Yeah, it was 2014, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2014. And we launched February 16th.
So 2014 is only, like, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
is that when that got on your radar screen?
Yeah, I would say that's when I seriously learned about it. Like, I heard about it before, but I really knew, like, what it was about, and I saw the pictures, and I saw the videos, and...
Did you have your roll down by then?
Yeah.
When did you get your roll?
I was probably 7 when I got my roll.
Okay.
I think you did your first one at 6, and then you lost it for a little while, and then you got it back.
Isn't it funny that way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she lost it again, and then she got it back, and she's had it ever since.
Yep.
But it was the kind of deal where she would... We do a lot of pool sessions in the winter in Colorado. There's a lot of that going on. So it was perfect for Abby at that stage to go to the pool, and she'd work on things. But then in the Colorado runoff season, everything was too big and fast and cold. So she ended up sitting out a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We take her to lakes and stuff here and there, but that's when, you know, I was doing a lot of the harder stuff that I like to paddle. And so she got sidelined a little bit there. And then as runoff ended, and things started mellowing out, then she'd be paddling again. And so sometimes in that gap, she would kind of forget things and then have to relearn them. Mm-hmm. That's part of being a kid.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. But, I think when you were 7 or 7.5, you got your roll and started really hanging on to it. Mm-hmm. Was it maybe 8 when you really...
I think I got my roll when I was 7. I did, like, a few rolls. Didn't really have it. I lost it. Got it back when I was 8. And then when I was 9, I, like, really was like, okay, you know, I kind of forgot it in that time period, but I got it right back away instantly. And then ever since then, I've been getting better and have had a role.
Cool. So I was talking with someone on the phone this afternoon, and they said that you're a champion kayaker now?
I'm the Junior Women's Freestyle Kayak National Champion.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a mouthful.
And when did that happen?
Last May in Reno.
Okay.
The Reno River Festival.
Yeah.
Okay. So almost a year ago.
Yep.
Okay. And when did... So let's back up a little bit and talk about this Grand Canyon trip that you guys just completed. Who applied for the permit? When did you win it? When did you get notified, hey, we have a chance to go boating?
So I won the permit. My previous trip was on another friend's permit. I've been putting in for permits for, like, I think 8 years or more. And
so this would have been in February of 2016.
Mm-mm.
We got a cancellation permit.
And okay. I think, where were we? We were in Colorado when we got notified.
It was in
right
May.
Right around my birthday.
In May.
Yeah.
And we were in the middle of the whole competition season of the freestyle kayaking stuff. So we kind of like, this is great. But we're kind of too busy right now to think about it. So yes, we're going to go. And then we kind of like didn't think about it for a couple weeks. And then we came back to it and we started thinking like, what would be the perfect trip? And started thinking, well, who do we want to go? And our first thought was we wanted to get a bunch of river families together, a trip with just a lot of kids. And so we went about inviting, there's a few people we knew we wanted to invite. Izzy Collette from Boulder City.
Can you spell that name, please?
IZZY COLLET, I believe.
T. Two T's.
Two T's. And she runs Desert Adventures there in Boulder City, which is an outfitter. And we loved Izzy and knew she loved raft, so we thought she was going to be a great fit. And then we asked a few other families with kids that are strong paddlers, and they all wanted to go. We got yeses, and then like a month later, they were all like, well, we don't know how we can do it with school. And so we kind of went through this whole list of kids that we thought we were going to have this big kid posse going down the river, which would have been really cool. And it turned out that Abby was the only one that could make it. So she ended up going with all the old folks. But it still was a great trip. But Izzy went along. We had Doug Haynes from Idaho. He's from Garden Valley, Idaho. And
how do you spell Haynes?
Oh, H-A-I-N-S.
H-A-I-N-E-S.
Yes, there you go. And he came along to row. And then we had one other person, Ron Stowe, S-T-O-W-E. Yeah, there's my speller. and he's from Salt Lake City. And he just rowed on Izzy's raft. He's Izzy's uncle.
Cool.
And so we had those three people, kind of three people in two rafts, and then the three of us in our own kayaks.
Fun.
Yeah.
So Abby, you're doing the nationals competitions, and now you're sort of thinking about Grand Canyon. What was the hardest rapid type water you had run? I'd say up through this fall, or certainly before you did your Grand Canyon trip.
So we went to Alaska in like late summer. And so there wasn't a lot of white water there. It was kind of a lot of flat water. We ran some stuff, but it wasn't very hard. So I felt a little nervous in my kayak, I guess. Not nervous, but just...
Rusty.
And so I wasn't really sure what to expect. It's like, oh no, the Grand Canyon's coming up. Like, I feel really rusty. Like, how am I going to do? And I got in my kayak. I got used to kayaking again.
What'd you do after Alaska, though?
We went to Bend, Oregon, and we playboated there. And then we went to Rock Island, Tennessee, and we trained with Emily Jackson and Eric Jackson and Nick Troutman and Stephen Wright. A bunch of different world champions, Clay Wright, all over there. And I got really comfortable on my boat. So I started feeling better, and then I started running harder things. And so I'd say, like, probably the hardest stuff before the Grand Canyon was like 4-3+. So
you ran numbers on the Arkansas River.
Yep.
At low water, which was cool.
Yep.
She did a westwater lap at about 3,500 CFS. So that was pretty good. And that was kind of like, for me, a Grand Canyon feeler for her to see how she was going to do. And she was ready, you know, she was charging. And
she ran the Ottawa River. The main channel of the Ottawa is big water, class 3+ water.
Big, pushy, high volume water.
How many CFS?
Oh, they do their gauge in meters there. So I would think it's like around 10,000-12,000, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just guessing that.
Get a sense of just what boils are like in turbines. Absolutely. I mean, was that helpful?
Definitely. We were there with Claire O'Hare, and she helped me get more comfortable with the whirlpools.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to spell Claire's name for me?
C-L-A-I-R-E-O-H-A-R-A.
Okay.
Cool. And who is Claire?
Claire is a former world champion freestyle kayaker.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So of all this work that you did this last year, what part was the most helpful for, now looking back, having just finished Grand Canyon, what was like the most helpful for that?
Everything. The Ottawa helped with the big pushy water, paddling with EJ and Emily and Stephen and Clay. They all helped a lot, just making me confident and pushing me and getting me prepared for it. Just everything, all those little pieces added up together, and it made me feel more confident. Then, of course, I looked at the first, like, class 5 rapid on it, and I was like, uh-oh, I'm not prepared.
Well, so let's start into it. It's at Lee's Ferry. You're camped at the boaters' camp. I'm assuming that's maybe where you camped your first night. Did you sleep?
Yes.
What were you thinking?
So, I guess I wasn't very educated about the Grand Canyon before we went. I saw some pictures, but to be honest, I didn't want to know very much about the rapids. I just wanted to block it out of my head. You know, like, the rapids, you know, I know about lava. I know it's the hardest rapid. Can't be that bad. I watched a video of a raft flipping, and it didn't look that bad. So it has to be fine. So,
you know, I like that thinking.
It doesn't look that bad. So just don't think about it. It's going to come eventually. Don't think about it. And, you know, that's the hardest rapid. So you got all the other ones. And so I didn't even know about Crystal or Hance or Granite or any of those rapids. Upset. So I had no idea about any of those. So it's like, oh, yeah, we have an 8 today. It's like, an 8? What? What's Hance? Oh, no.
So first day. Did you guys scout? Did you scout Badger on the first day, or just ran it? What were you thinking? So Badger sort of sets the stage. You run down through Cathedral Wash. Okay, it's a little splashy. All right, fine. You get on some kind of flat water. Well, that's a lot of flat water. And you get the Badger, and you're like, ho hum. Do you remember Badger at all?
I don't even remember Badger. We camped at Soap.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's before or after.
It's after. And so you got to hear this little...
Yeah.
All night long.
Yeah, so we camped at Soap, and I saw Soap, and we scouted it, and it's like, oh no, like, this is awful, this looks terrifying, and it's huge, and the waves, they're just so big, and so I was, like, really nervous to run through, and, you know, me and my GoPro, and I was like, oh no, I'm not ready for this, like, I didn't prepare at all, like, I'm totally not ready for this, I can't do this, like, it's gonna be really hard, and I ran through it, and I ran just fine, and I started to get more comfortable with the 3s and more comfortable with the 4s. And then finally I started to become friends with the 5s. And then the 6s, started to get more comfortable with those. And then the 7s, they were really scary. And I got more used to those. And then finally Hance came. And I was like, okay.
So let's back up a little bit before we get to Hance. So kind of after Soap Creek, you have House Rock, which is for the rafters. It's the first time you got to really sit up and pay attention and do something with your boat. Mm-hmm. To try to miss that big hole at the bottom. But if you hit the hole at the bottom, you might flip, you might not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for you in a kayak, it's like a little easier.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, it was like another ho-hum. Okay, this kind of looks back upstream. I can do this. I can see. I'm assuming you scouted it.
Yeah, maybe. We did.
Mm-hmm. And that might have been your first scout?
Yep, first scout.
Yeah, besides Soap, but we camped there. So we scouted House Rock.
And what did you think? You're like, oh, hum, I think I can see a line here. This looks pretty easy.
Yeah, I saw the far, far right line. And I was like, okay, we can go far right. That looks good. I'm way away from the hole.
Cool.
And so we ran far right. And we got into the eddy. And we're watching the rafts come down. It's like, whoa, that's a big hole. Like, that's like the biggest hole I've ever seen. It was huge.
Did you get out into the eddy fence at the bottom of House?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There is a really wickedly hard eddy fence. A jet of water comes out of that rapid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that eddy just plays with that fence. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if you just remembered it.
I don't remember that, but I'm sure.
Okay. So then you paddle on downstream again and journeyed off then into the Roaring Twenties a little bit. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that? Just fun? A little more confidence building? What were you thinking?
I guess how I've always handled scary rapids is you just don't think about it. Mm-hmm. You don't ask questions, you just don't think about it. And as soon as you're about to drop in the rapid, it's like, oh yeah, what does the guidebook say? Even though you've been wondering this the whole time, it's like, okay, what does the guidebook say? And it's like, oh, okay. Like, you know, there's a big hole. It's like, oh no. So then you work away and you try and find the best line. And so I feel like I did that. And so I tried not to think about the big scary rapids, but in my head it was like, whoa, this is a big rapid. Like, these are huge. They're terrifying. And then I got through them and they were fine. And then they started to become fun. So all of a sudden you're out of the Roaring Twenties. I was like, no, where'd they go? They were so awesome.
And then you suddenly got to the miles of flat. How'd you handle that?
I didn't think the flat water was too bad. There's quite a bit of current. And it's not like just paddling across a flat lake. So there is current, and there's little spots to play and do flat water freestyle. And it wasn't that bad.
She spent most of her time in a stern stall on the flat water. She would just pop her boat up and be floating with her bow sticking straight in the air. And just trying to see how long she could hold it, you know. And we do a lot. Abby and I do a lot of that. We like to play around in the flat water.
So you're using the current to pull you along because you've got your tail kind of down in the river. Is that how that works?
Yeah. So you don't really use the current. You can do it in completely flat water, but sometimes it kind of depends on what way you like to get up. There's easier ways to get up in the current. But the way I typically do it.
So your feet are sticking up in the air.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laying on your back.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And exactly. Then you're like paddle out behind you to balance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh, cool.
It's just kind of like a way to pass the time while you're still going down the river. So it's fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So lots of flat water. But then, you know, an anchor weep comes along and it's a little kind of special. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. And then quagga. And it's a little kind of, there's a little something over there. But you missed that. And it's kind of a big chop coming along.
Yep.
And then you get a little more flat for a while.
Mm-hmm.
A couple little things here and there, but not 60 miles. Like, okay, fine. And then the Little Colorado River showed up. Now, by this time, was your water clear to the Little Colorado River?
Mm-hmm. Very clear. You could see the bottom. It was awesome.
And then what happened?
Brown mud.
How did that change your boating and your ability to read water?
I couldn't see the rocks. I'm really bad in general at seeing rocks and holes. Like, I don't know.
You do fine.
Okay. Well, maybe I just don't pay enough attention, but it's always like, whoa, there's a hole there, and then I paddle really hard around it, and the mud didn't help that, and so it made it harder to see rocks and holes and stuff, just because it just made it, I don't even know how to describe it, and then, of course, it made everything look bigger, you know, the big muddy water, and you can't see the white, it just makes it look bigger, in my opinion.
More ominous.
Yeah.
Did you find that it helped? It helped you with your boating skills because you no longer could look into the water to see what was going on down there. And you had to sort of try to figure out what was going on underneath by looking at the top, looking at the surface. That's all you had.
Not really. Okay. I don't really ever use underwater, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so suddenly got brown. Okay, fine. The water's all dirty. Yuck. Okay, fine.
She played around in the little eddy there, the eddy line.
The confluence.
Oh, it's confluence.
Fun. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
I was, like, really excited for it. It's like, oh, the muddy water. Like, this is so cool. It's merging. It makes it kind of pink color. Like, this is awesome. And then, like, it was like, I'm muddy. Now I'm all
the
gross.
Rolls.
Yeah, I was doing rolls in the muddy water. It's like, oh, I'm all muddy and gross. And then I go back in the clear water, and then I do a roll, and then I did a roll back in the muddy water, and then I realized that clear water was gone. I was like, uh-oh. Oh, no. What's happening? Stuck with the mud.
Did you come to like it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got used to it. But I got used to, like, the muddiness. But, I mean, it didn't really make that much of a difference.
Do you know what Colorado means?
I should know this. This is embarrassing.
We failed.
I'm just asking. Don't worry about it.
I do.
Red?
I didn't say it.
Why? Why is it called red?
That I don't know.
What are we talking about?
I don't
I don't know.
What happened at the Little Colorado River?
The confluence?
What happened there?
What happened to the river?
In? What were you rolling in? What was happening?
Oh, the merging of the two colors.
And what happened to the river afterwards? It turned red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That river was always red.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There was no dam.
Yeah.
Okay, so the water turned brown and off you went. And things are coming up. There's 75 mile. You do with Unkar. Any thoughts on Unkar? 75 mile?
I don't remember. I'm really bad with names.
So then Hans showed up. And you might not even stop and scouted 75 mile.
We scouted it. Yeah.
Did you?
Hans.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, not Hans, but 75 mile or Unkar.
I think we just ran
right through. We just ran right through.
Yeah. Yeah. But then here comes Hans. Okay, fine. Another big flat lake. Lots of water. Paddle, 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 paddle. And then what happened?
I was kind of nervous because I really wanted to paddle the whole thing, but it's like, oh, it's the first eight, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it. And, you know, if I can't do the first one, then I'm not going to be able to do the rest of them. So I was kind of nervous about that. And then I saw there was a sneak line. I was like, ooh, there's, like, this total easy shoot off to the left. I was like, that's awesome, you know. That's my favorite part about the Grand Canyon is there's not just one big line with these huge holes that you have to go through. There's always, like, some eddy or, you know, you could just, there's different lines. It's a big, wide river. And so I scouted, and we sat there for a while, and it's like, oh, I kind of like, it's okay. Not necessarily my favorite line. There's, like, this awkward little, like, lead-in. But I watched Dad go through it. I made him go through and run it twice, and I watched him go through it. It's like, okay, well, I actually didn't like that line. So let's do the second choice. I had two options that I put in my head. And so I was like, okay, I have two options, and I didn't like the first one, so we're going to do the second one. It's maybe a little harder move, but it looks a lot easier, just how the way the boat maneuvered in it. And so we did that one, and we ran it perfectly, and then there's just some little waves, and then it was fine. So it was pretty easy, and then it's like, oh, okay, if everyone's like this, I can do it.
Bingo.
Yep.
Nice. So after Hans, did you guys run down to Phantom? Where did you camp for that night?
We camped probably, like, oh,
Clear Creek. Could have been Zoroaster. Could have been...
No.
Could have above been, Clear Creek. Grapevine. Right above Clear Creek.
It was after Grapevine.
Okay.
And there was that perfect little...
Clear Creek's where we stopped and played on that first...
I know. So it was a little bit above Clear Creek. I don't know.
It was on the right.
The book's right there.
Would be Clear Creek. It would be Clear Creek Camp. It's just
yeah,
a little
maybe above. It was Clear Creek Camp.
And you gotta walk across all the rocks. Yep. You gotta walk a ways to then get into the canyon and go up the canyon to where the water is.
That was it.
Okay. So.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Clear Creek. Nice. So by the time you got to Clear Creek, you had run Grapevine, Sockdolager, 84 and a half mile. That was like...
Grapevine was really scary. I saw the lip and I don't know. I just got really nervous all of a sudden. I ran Hans and everything was good, and then I saw Grapevine and I heard, you know, like the rafts, you know. It's hard for the rafts. I heard Izzy like talking about it, and it's like, oh, that sounds really big. So I was a little nervous, so I was like, okay, we'll just run it. It's like, we'll just do it. And then I realized that there's another group scouting. I was like, okay, let's scout, we're going to scout. So we scouted it and we watched the rafts go through, and it made me feel a lot better. I was able to see the line. And so we got to the top, and Dad's like, okay, are you ready? And I was like, as ready as I'll ever be. So we got down, and we ran through. It was completely fine. It was a huge wave, super fun.
Yeah, you did great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the rafts were kind of waiting for us because they didn't think we were going to scout.
Yeah.
That's kind of the nice thing in a kayak is last second, change your mind.
Yeah.
She's like, let's scout! So we jumped out, and it was kind of nice to watch our rafts go through. She could help her read the water by watching how the rafts reacted, so...
So, get to Phantom Ranch, there's lemonade, candy bars, there's people walking around. At that point, from Lee's Ferry to Phantom, how had your boating changed?
I became more confident. I started to believe that I could do it. You know, at first it was like, maybe I can paddle the whole thing. Then it was like, okay, I've gotten through a lot of it. And, you know, this little dream of mine is actually... maybe possible. Maybe I can paddle the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so. She kind of, definitely her confidence went up. Not that her confidence was low from the beginning. I mean, she was always, she just has a good time in her boat, and she's usually not too worried about stuff. But, we got there, and it was like, yeah, maybe I'll do this. And I tried to really never pressure her. I always gave her the chance to walk a rapid if she wanted to. And so, you know, that wasn't like we went into it like we're going to paddle the whole thing. It was just kind of like, that's what you do. You go down a river and you try to paddle the whole thing if you can.
And I've told myself the whole time going down the canyon, it was like, okay, you know, I didn't know about any of the other rapids. So it's like, okay, if lava's really big and I don't think I can run safely through it, I will walk it. Like, as hard as that'll be, I will walk it. Like, or if there's a dangerous spot, like, I will walk it. Even though it's going to be awful, I will walk it. And so I kind of told myself that the whole time. Like, if I feel like I can't do it, I will walk it. Just because that's safe. And so I kind of had that in the back of my head. But I really didn't want to do that. I really wanted to paddle the whole thing.
Kathy, what were you thinking?
Well, I'm always nervous for my little girl and I want her to be safe, and so as I watched her paddle through the Roaring Twenties and pick these beautiful lines, and then Hans, she did exactly what she told me she was going to do. I think at Hans is when I started thinking, you know, maybe she can do the whole thing. And so every rapid, again and again, she hit the line that she was talking about. And so I was proud of her and nervous for her and worried about her and excited that she was doing all of this. It was a whole jumble of emotions.
Terrifyingly awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then comes Horn Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming you scouted.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, ho-hum?
Yeah, it was... I saw the line, like, right away, you know. There's the big waves, and I don't really want to go near those, so I'll go a little further left and kind of nip the waves and not go through the meat of them, but still hit some of them. And so I was so excited to go left that I almost ran straight into the wall on the other side.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, typically at that point you realize, wow, okay, I mean, here we are at, you know,
I was like,
it's yeah. happening, and we're managing to survive.
Yeah, I was like, these are awesome. You know, all the eights you can sneak. This is amazing. Like, there's an easy line on everything. And this
you
is
weren't
just,
really sneaking them.
Well, though. I wasn't sneaking them. It was like, there's a line that I can see on everything. It's amazing. And then Granite came. So I kind of was asking the whole way, like, hey, are there, like, the same lines, similar lines to what I've been taking on Granite, like the other ones? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure, like, totally. And so he was like, oh, yeah, I'll just, you know, take the same similar lines that I have been. And I got there and I looked at it. And, you know, if you look at the far, far left, it's, like, just, like, pour over and awful holes. And I was like, okay, if I, like, boof over this hole and then boof over that hole, I'll make it through without having to go through the meat of it. And so I was like, okay, we can do this. And Dad's like, okay, that's awful. If you're going to flip, like, you'll hit your head on a rock. Like, that's not safe. You can't do that line. And not only that, you'll get stuck in a pour over. Like, not a good idea. And I was like, okay, what's the line? Like, oh, you go straight down the right. I was like, I don't want to do that. And so I sat there and I debated. And sometimes, you know, I get so nervous that I start crying, and then I, like, hyperventilate, and then it's not safe to run it because I can't breathe. And so the whole time I was like, okay, don't hyperventilate, because then they're not gonna let you do it. Like, don't freak out. And so I'm sitting there, like, crying, and it's like, should I do it, should I not? Like, you know, this isn't even the hardest rapid. You know, I totally can do this. I know I can. Worst thing that happens is I roll, or even worse than that, I swim, but I'll be fine. And so I sit there and I'm contemplating, and finally, it's like, okay, you know, I can't sit here much longer. It's starting to get dark, and I guess I just have to go run it. I really don't want to walk it. I can't walk it. Like, I really want to run the whole thing. And so I knew I was capable, so I went, and I was like, okay, Dad, will you paddle through it and just let me watch? So he did that, and I watched it, and I was like, okay. He styled it. It looked great. I was like, okay, I can do it. So then we finally, I looked at it one last time, and I was like, okay, here we go. So I turn on my GoPro and we walk down and we get ready to paddle through the rapid. I do a roll, I get ready, and we drop in, and there's the first big wave, and it's like, oh no. And I just freeze, like, I'm just frozen, and I flip. And I roll, and I'm good, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I just flipped. Like, that was the worst thing that could happen. Oh no. And then so I'm paddling through, and then another big lateral, and it kind of, like, almost flips me, but I recover it and I brace. And then the second one hits me and I recover it in a brace. And then the third one hits me and I just fall right over because I'm still kind of in a brace. And there's kind of this wave hole at the bottom on the left, center left. And I didn't want to go through that because I knew if I went through it, I'd probably flip. And my goal was to stay upright through it. I failed that miserably. And so I'm like ready to roll and I'm like, okay, I'll roll. I felt a break. And I was about to like roll and then I feel psh, and like all this pressure on the bottom of my boat. And I went through the hole right as it broke and I went through it upside down. And I was like, oh no. And I was like, thankfully I scouted. And I know now that I'm through the hole, there's maybe some waves, but as long as I time my roll, I'll be able to roll. And so I was able to roll up and that was 10 seconds. I was under for 10 seconds. And in a pool, I can hold my breath for a minute, and it's not that big of a deal. But in white water, it's like you're thinking about what's going on around you. You're thinking about rolling. You've just paddled through a big rapid that you're scared of. So you don't have as much oxygen. And so I was, like, really out of breath and, like, really tired. And so we paddled down and tried to catch the eddy, missed the eddy, went down through the next rapid and then caught the eddy. And it was just... not the line I wanted, but I made it through fine. And even the worst thing that could happen happened, and I was fine, and I made it through. And I'm sure had I not have been so scared, it would have been a much better run through. But I was almost so scared that I messed it all up. But I pulled it together and did a roll. So, yeah.
There was a passage of a book that you're reminding me of. It was a book called Dune. Your parents may have read, and the passage is fear is the mind killer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I think getting through that moment,
it was like,
it gave her the confidence to know that it's okay to roll. You know, you don't have to stay upright the whole time, mm-hmm. which we always roll a lot. We always just playing around rolling and stuff. But I think then the next big rapids, she was like, okay, well, if I roll, I roll. No big deal. I'm going to roll right up, and I'm going to keep charging through the rapid.
And even when I was nervous to flip in the rapid, it was like, okay, I flipped in granite. Like, I flipped in the place where I didn't even want to flip, and I went through the hole I didn't want to go through upside down. And I'm fine. I mean, I made it. Maybe not the one I wanted, but I made it. And so even if I flip in this one, it'll probably be no different. Maybe I do go through that whatever I don't want to go through. I'll be fine. You know, it happened in granite. And that was my first big combat roll of the trip, like in the big rapids. So, of course, I'd done the little ones, the little rapids, but that was, like, the first big combat roll in the rapids. And so with that, it was like, oh, wow, you know, I can paddle this. That was not the best run ever, but I did it, and I'm fine. And so maybe I will be able to paddle the whole thing.
So at this point, it's late in the day. It's getting close to being dark, mm-hmm. which makes me think that your raft team had your back.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I was photographing on the bank, so I was taking pictures of her going through that, and that was definitely the scariest moment of the entire trip, because that 10 seconds when she was upside down and that little pink boat is going through all of that and I can't see her, that was terrifying as a parent to watch that happen. I kept waiting to see her head come up, that she was swimming, and then eventually she got down to the bottom and just rolled right up. But it was an excruciating long amount of time that she hung in there upside down to get through that.
And in the end, it was like, you know, I was crying of tears of being afraid. And then when it came down to it, it was like, I'm going to regret not running this. You know, who knows? This might be my only trip I ever get in the Grand Canyon. And it would be awful if I didn't get to run it. And so it's like, instead of having tears of regret and like I'm missing out on something, I'd rather have tears of joy and tears of happiness and complete it and finish something that's really hard. And so at the end, I was really happy and felt good instead of disappointed at myself, which made me feel so much better in some of the other bigger rapids.
It was a pivotal moment. She was a different kid on the river after that. Yeah. Charging into everything and just, oh, I got this. Oh, is this a 7? Oh, is this an 8? Cool. I can't wait. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely a transformational time.
Yeah. She was more relaxed, more comfortable, mm-hmm. more confident. She started playing around more in the bigger rapids, yeah. trying to surf waves. And that's always a good sign. If you're willing to surf a wave in the middle of a big rapid, you've got your head around it.
Yeah.
So...
And something my dad did on his trip that I remember him talking about is he said, sometimes, you know, in the little rapids, you're just paddling and you get kind of bored. And he was like, him and his friend started doing this thing where they close their eyes in the rapids and the person behind him would tell them where to go. And so I was like, oh, Dad, we should do that. Like, and I started feeling more confident. It's like, okay, like, we can do that. And so I'd close my eyes in the rapid, and he'd lead me through these huge waves, and I'd just be totally airborne in my kayak. And with my eyes closed, and Dad's like, did you peek? And I was like, maybe when I was at the crest of that wave. Because, you know, when you're flying and in midair, you kind of, like, it's just, like, you can't help it. Like, you just have to open your eyes. I'm not even, like, I'm trying so hard to keep my eyes closed, but it's like, I'm like, whoa, and your eyes open.
That's very cool.
It's pretty fun.
Very fun. So then there's Hermit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you get on the big ride? Where did you get to camp?
We camped at Hermit.
Okay.
And I knew that I would be nervous to camp at Hermit and not run it as soon as we got there. So I got it on my boat. We scouted it real quickly just so I knew what was happening, because had I not scouted Granite, I probably would have swam just because I didn't know that hole was there and I probably would have freaked out. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe it's the smallest rapid ever. Maybe it's not that big of a deal, but I'd just like to know if I flip. So I know it's coming and I can feel it. And so we scouted it, saw the line. I went center right and had so fun. The waves were so big. As soon as I dropped in, it was like, whoa, these are a lot bigger than it looks in the bank. You know, it was like, I felt like a quarter of the size of the waves. They were just huge. And we hit it all at high water, Granite and Hermit. And so they were really big. But it was so fun. And then I felt really good. And then I carried my boat back up to the top. And then the next morning when we woke up, I ran it again.
Cool.
So I ran Hermit twice. It was really fun.
Very cool. And so, all right, so then you get Crystal, and so my running assumption is I drive an eggshell, okay, so I'm really worried about places like Crystal, because there's little rocks out there, and I've got to deal with that stuff, but in a kayak, it seems like you have a little more liberty to make it a little funner.
So I didn't look ahead in the map, and I was like, so excited about running Granite and Hermit, I was like, I'm done with the eights, I just have lava, and I'm done. And so then I was like, oh yeah, we have Crystal today, oh. So then, ran Crystal, I ran the right line as normal. I think everyone does that, or tries to. Ran the right line, did it perfectly, got to the bottom, I was like, yes, I'm done with the eights, this is awesome! Then, like, a week later, I was upset. I was like, what's upset? It's like, oh, it's just a class eight. And I was like, a class eight, another one, I thought we were done at Crystal. Dang it!
You didn't get upset, did you?
No. And then, of course, I saw the line right away. And yeah, it was super fun. Yeah. So,
did you run right or did you run left?
I ran right.
Okay. That's a nice safe line there.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, but there's a lot of flat water. And as you were you zoning into the flat water? Was it becoming more tolerable as you were cruising along?
I got used to it. It wasn't really flat water. Like when I think of flat water, I think of just like Lake Superior, where it's just like flat.
Right.
But this has current, like. Even on that line, there's a bunch of current and there's some waves. Like, I guess maybe it's just because I'm so small, but, you know, those waves felt big on the side, even though they weren't necessarily going through the hole or something.
So at this point, you haven't swam, okay, and you haven't gotten out of your boat.
Nope.
Okay.
Yep.
Haven't put the boat on the back of a raft and just said, somebody else can push me down through the moving flat water.
I was tempted, a little bit tempted. It's like, oh, you know, like kayaking's great. I love kayaking. But, you know, I'm kind of tired. I'd like a layover day, but no one else wants a layover day. So I'm kind of tired, but let's get on the raft. It's like, oh, no, I ran Granite. Like, I ran Granite and I sucked it up through Granite. So I'm not getting on the raft. Like, if I sucked it up through Granite, I'm definitely not getting on the raft on something like flat water. You know, lava, if I didn't like it, I would walk it. And that was fine. But, you know, I'm not going to ride through the raft on some flat water just because I ran on Granite. Like, that was really big for me. I just didn't want to do it, and I did it. And so there's no way I could get on a raft and ruin that motivation to go through Granite.
Very cool. So, lava, yes.
Yeah.
Then what happened? You got the lava.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So, lava was the only one I knew about, and it was that one that I was really nervous about. It's the hardest rapid on the river, and I wasn't really sure if I could do it. And when I saw the video, it was really far away. I guess the camera didn't zoom in, and all I saw was one big wave, raft flip, and then flat water. That's all I saw. And that's all I expected. I didn't see the ledge hole. I didn't see the V slot. I didn't see Big Kahuna. I didn't see any of that. I just saw one big wave. And so we got there, and you know, we were waiting for the rafts to tie up, and I just got so anxious. I was like, oh no, like, this is really big. Like, I'm just nervous. Like, I'm sure it'll be fine. Like, it's just one big wave. I can get through the one big wave. But I just gotta go look at it right now. So Mom's like, go get the camera. And so I run and get the camera, and then I'm like practically running up the scout trail, like, so nervous. I look at it, and it's like, uh-oh. Like, there's the big ledge hole. There's the V-slot, Big Kahuna. Don't want to go through the V-slot. Don't want to go to the ledge hole, and don't want to go near Big Kahuna. So I was like, what are my options here? And so we sat there. Our Doug and Izzy and Ron were so patient. We sat at the top of lava for 3 hours. And the first hour, we, like, for the first 30 minutes, we sat at the Scout Rock. And then I was like...
We looked at the left line.
We looked at the left line. And I was like, okay, that looks good. Like, let's just... We'll ferry across the top, and we'll just go scout on the left. And Dad's like, you know, maybe you shouldn't run that. Like, there's some big pour-overs over there, and I don't think that would be safe. Kind of like granite. I was like, okay. Is there any way I can get away from the V-slot and all that big stuff? Didn't find anything. It's like, maybe I could just move the... if only I could move the ledge hole and, like, get the ledge hole out of there, and then I'd just be fine.
And you and everybody else.
Yeah, right?
With my magic wand.
Yeah, right? And so I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, like, you don't have magical powers. You can't change it. Like, you just got to look for the line. So I had Dad run it, and I didn't like the line very much, but he had a beautiful line. And so I finally sat there, and I got sick to my stomach. I felt like I was going to throw up. I couldn't look at it anymore. And by then, we were probably there for an hour, and so I went and sat with boats for maybe 30 minutes and sat there and cried and thought, and like, oh, should I run it? Should I not? Like, this is really big. It can't be that harder. Like, you know, it can't be that much harder than granite. It's maybe shorter, and there's only one or two moves and not a bunch of oncoming laterals. And so I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I went up to Scout Rock one last time, and I was like, okay, if I don't see the line, and if I don't like it, I'm walking it, and that's it. That's game over. And I saw the line. I talked about it. There was another party that we let get ahead of us, and I watched them go through it. They did fine. So we did all that, and then I was like, it's time to run it. So I decided I was going to run it. I knew I could do it. Our line was, so there's kind of like this lateral that comes off the ledge hole. And our line was to punch through that and then go, so the V slot, and then there's like another little wave coming off the V slot, and we're going to punch through that. So that was our line, and then I was going to motor it left, so I went right around Big Kahuna. And I thought I was going to catch the left eddy and go look at that little waterfall on the bottom. And so we got to the top, you know, we talked about it some more, let the rafts go through, the other party's raft. And finally it was time. After 3 hours, Izzy gave me a pep talk, and I just felt really good. And maybe I just became used to it by then and how, you know, it looked smaller. And so it was time to get in the boats, and I did a roll. Then we got in. So there's the bubble line. And, you know, I thought I'd have, like, 30 seconds there, and all of a sudden the bubble line is gone. I was like, oh, no. And then there's a ledge hole, and then we're punching through the lateral. And then as I went through that little wave that we were going to punch next to the V-slot, I got spun around backwards. And I kind of went through, I guess, I'm not really sure what happened, but I went through the wave sideways, and somehow I didn't flip. I don't know how that happened, but I went through it sideways, leaning upstream, and I really have no idea how I didn't flip, but I didn't. And then going off the back of that wave, it felt like I was dropping off a waterfall. I was like, whoa, this is so big. And then I spun around quickly, and then I realized that Big Kahuna was coming up, and I paddled as hard as I could to go around. Caught the left eddy, looked at the waterfall, and Dad's like, come over here, catch the right eddy. And I was like, I thought I was going to left eddy. And so I had to ferry across the right eddy, and then at the end I just felt so good. Because for me, I don't know why I do this, even though there's still some more rapids to come, or, you know, even in granite, like, there was that one big wave hole I didn't like, but I knew once I passed that, I was done with the rapid. Like, that was that nervous part, and that's where I knew I would flip if I was going to flip. So once I passed that, I felt good. And the same thing with lava. Lava was on the whole river. That was the rapid. I knew if I passed that, I could paddle the whole thing. And so at the bottom, I was like, I paddled the whole thing. Even though I didn't paddle the whole thing, it was like, I knew I can paddle the whole thing, and it felt like I just knew I could. And so I felt almost done, even though I wasn't anywhere near being done. It just felt so good to be down at the bottom, and just, I was so proud of myself for sucking it up and paddling through these big rapids and feeling very accomplished and doing what I knew I could do.
So it's the last day, mm-hmm. and you guys started out surprise. You got 30 miles to go, mm-hmm. and the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
So for me, flat water has always been a problem. I'm not very, I don't really think anyone really enjoys flat water, but I in particular really, really don't like flat water. And you know, it's like, oh, if I can run lava, I can paddle through flat water. Like, I'll be fine. And so it was really hard for me to do that. It's like, I want to just go jump in the raft. Like, this is hard. And, it's just really high winds and it's hard. And you're just thinking like, oh, this is so miserable. And then finally, Mom and I started talking and it was like, oh, it's not miserable. Like, we're playing games and this is more fun. Finally, I started to motor and then we got halfway and it's like, oh, I can do this. And then I started to get cold and we found this little hot spring on the side and I just filled my gloves up with hot spring water and stuck my hands in and then started paddling on and we finally got to the takeout. I tapped the side of the bank and I was like, I'm done. I did it. And it just felt so good. I was pretty tired to be, like, actually excited. I was so tired. But I was so excited. And it just felt good to set my mind to something. And it was like, hey, I'm going to paddle the whole Grand Canyon. And then actually do it. And I feel like sometimes it's like, hey, I'm going to do this. And then I don't actually do it. And it just felt good to finish something and get it completely over with.
So what was the coolest thing you saw on that journey?
I think the white water was really cool, but ever since I saw the pictures of my dad's trip, I wasn't really interested in white water. I wasn't, like, I paddled white water a lot, but I wasn't really into it yet. And so I saw the pictures of Elf's Chasm, and I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. And so when we got there, I was like, I'm so excited for Elf's Chasm. Like, that was, like, one of my, like, the things I was most looking forward to, and it was one of the only side hikes I knew about besides like Havasu and stuff. And we got there and I like motored up there and we swam around in the pool in my dry suit, and then it was finally time to jump off. And I wouldn't say I'm the bravest person of jumping off things. I don't like to jump off things. Maybe a little scared of heights. And so I climbed up the thing and I was like, okay, this is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna jump off. My dad jumped off. It was all good. He's like, you know, just don't hit the ledge below you. You kind of have to jump out. And so I finally, I got to the edge and I was like, look down. It's like, oh, the ledge is like, the ledge right below me is right there. And I hope I don't, I want to jump far enough out. And it's just like, really like, oh no. And I was like, okay, you can do this, Abby. You can do this, Abby. 1, 2, 3, go. And I'm still standing on the ledge. So I was like, uh-oh. And all I could think about was me slipping and falling off and hitting the ledge. I was like, ah. So then finally, I was like, okay, Abby, you really got to do this now. So I jumped off and I cleared the ledge by a lot. And it was just super fun. And then we rushed down and ate lunch. And then we moved on. But it was really fun to go to Elf's Chasm and play around there.
Cool. Yeah. And what was the thing you liked the least?
I don't know. Probably the flat water paddling that last 30-mile stretch with the winds. It was really hard to motivate, and just that was like the crux part for me. And that was probably my least favorite part. And leaving, of course, taking out, like, that was awful. You know, driving away was really hard.
Mm-hmm. So I'll ask Peter the same question. What was the coolest thing you saw on that trip?
The coolest thing I saw was at Granite. And even though she didn't have the perfect line, she broke through some huge barriers. And really on her own, you know, I tried to never pressure her, you know, set any expectations. It was always like, okay, Abby, this can be whatever you want it to be. If you want to walk, that's fine. If you want to run it, that's fine. No judgment either way. And she was over there crying, kind of not sobbing, but definitely you could tell she had tears of fear. And we just kinda,
like all the other boatmen that stand there.
Yeah. And we just kind of let her, you know, I kept trying to talk to her a little bit, but then I was like, okay, I'm just going to let her come to her own conclusion and let me know what she wants to do. And so we just let her be quiet, and she walked around, looked at everything, like, over and over. And then she walks up to me, and the tears are gone. And she's like, let's run this thing. And that was a pretty highlight. And then paddling and dropping into that tongue into granite, and I look back at her, I'm like, okay, here we go. And she's like, okay. And then she just disappeared in the waves behind me, you know. So that was pretty awesome. But that was also probably, I think you're probably getting ready to ask me my low point or my scariest moment. And there when she's rolling, you know, I thought for a second, I was like, oh wow. I was like, you gotta roll. And we've kind of trained Abby to wait until she feels the proper time to roll, not to just go for a roll blatantly, but to wait until she feels her body positioning and feels some pull on the paddle, and to really make her rolls count. Don't just go through the motions when you're not ready. And so that's exactly what she was doing. I could see her boat upside down. I could see her paddle set off to the side, out of the water. She was in that setup position to roll, and she just didn't roll. And I was like, come on, roll, come on. You know, as the father, I'm thinking like, wow, come on, roll, 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 you know, please roll. And she was just taking her time and it was everything I trained her to do. But when you're going through the last part of granite and you see your baby girl, you know, upside down, it's kind of like she couldn't roll fast enough, in my opinion, but she was doing everything right. And so then when I actually started paddling towards her, I was going to try to give her what I call a hand of God and actually flip her back over myself. But as right, I got about 6 feet from her and boom, she popped right up. And then she took a big breath because she'd been under for a while. And then she instantly went from big breath to the biggest smile I think I've ever seen. And she knew she was through it. And then it was just all whoops and high fives from there. So
cool.
That was really cool.
Same thing for me, exactly. Mine wasn't watching her drop in, but at the end, watching the change in her, just how she paddled with so much more confidence. And I mean, everything was just brighter after granite. You know, in camp, she was so helpful and happy and joking and playful. And on the river, she was laughing and charging and playing and
surfing,
and yeah, just an amazing, amazing person on this trip with us. And so that transformation was absolutely the highlight for me too. And the scariest moment right before that, when she was upside down, I couldn't even breathe. I was crying and I couldn't breathe because I was photographing it and capturing the whole thing. I wasn't anywhere near where I could do anything. And
there's a reason why we as a species have survived so long. It's called mom.
Yeah.
It's not called dad. I'm sorry. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible. Definitely the worst. It was way worse than me being upside down in the rapid, watching her and just waiting for her to deal with it on her own. And when she did, I was just so relieved and proud and sobbing still. It was amazing.
Cool.
There was a funny moment at the bottom of it. Dad was like, wow, that was some combat roll. And I was like, you didn't see the first one? Like, I flipped twice in that. He's like, no, you didn't. I was like, yeah, I flipped twice. And he's like, what? I was like, yeah.
I saw both of them.
Documented with the camera. Yeah,
exactly.
So, Abby, the next 12-year-old is out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. What would you want to tell them?
I think even if it's as crazy as wanting to paddle the whole Grand Canyon or whatever that is, do whatever you want to do. And even it might take 3 hours of crying at the top of lava, but eventually you'll come around and maybe you'll see the line and maybe you won't. But you can do anything as long as you set your mind to it.
Very cool. Well, I'd like to wrap this interview up with one last question for each of you. What is the question I should have asked but didn't? We'll start with Kathy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think we've talked so much about the rapids and the water and the river, but I think my very favorite part was the three of us for 25 days, unplugged, together, focused on this adventure and working as a team and just being together in that environment was magical. And I think we're so fortunate, so few people get to do that as a family, especially with a almost teenage daughter. And that was my very favorite part of everything. So the time around the campfire and the time on the water and just the time talking and hearing what we're each thinking and what's going on with everybody. And it was really magical.
I liked all the relationships we made, and some of it was with the canyon, some of it was the river, some of it was with the new friends that we met on the trip, and it was all just really cool, and how we just met new people and new things, and it was cool to learn about new stuff.
Yeah, I think a surprise for me was at Havasu. We went up, and, you know, we're checking out the beautiful water. And then it was like, we have to kayak this too. And so Abby and I carried our boats up and we ran the last last two or three drops of Havasu, and there's like a little waterfall in there and then some other little creaky lines. And I think it was just the water, the whole scenery there is so beautiful. And being in your kayak in that beautiful water going downstream was just amazing. And then seeing Abby in that environment too, and us just having fun, we lapped it. We probably did like five times, and that was really neat. Yeah, she went off of a little waterfall, and that's probably her first waterfall. And it was just gorgeous. You know, the light's so beautiful in there, and so that was a highlight.
Yeah,
it's kind of a little.
That was fun.
It's like a bonus round.
Yeah. Very fun. Thank you so much for this wonderful interview in a very windy Cameron parking lot.
Yes.
This is a Grand Canyon Historical Society oral interview. Today is the 29th of March, 2017, and we're signing out.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.